All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to episode 138 of the On Air Advocate. Where at the On Air Advocate, we look to provide education, support, and empowerment for all of those with different abilities, mental and medical illnesses, and their caregivers. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Tammy Flynn, and I am the host and producer of the On Air Advocate. And I am super excited if you are here joining us this early Friday morning, or if you are catching this on the replay. Now, as always, if you think any of the content that we are talking about could be helpful for your network or your circle, please hit the share button and share the love. Now, as you guys probably are aware, we are in our month-long back-to-school and transition series. And we've covered a lot for the elementary age and early school age, but this week we've kind of taken a dive into transition college-bound. And I am ecstatic to have one of my favorite pediatricians, health advocates, and friends here back on the show, Dr. Nicole Rochester. She is a pediatrician, a health advocate, and she is the founder and CEO of Your GPS Doc. Good morning.
Good morning, Tammy. It's always great to be back.
Yes, and like you spoke, I think I was trying to count back, but I think this might be the fourth time that you've been on because you got some good content. You're pretty wide range.
Thank you. I think you're right. I think this is number four.
To health advocate to our elderly loved ones. So we've covered a lot of topics together. And I'm excited for you to share about your new book that launched. And really the book was very, very focused on those college-bound students, the going off to school. And I know that just in our short conversations, we've talked about insurance and kids getting there and things not being covered and whatnot. So when we talk about, health emergencies, kids going off to school, what are some of the things that you think are really, really important for parents to know? Or even the college students themselves to know.
Yeah, I think, before we go into it, I think it's important to say that, this is something that we really don't think about. This is something, I'm a college parent. My daughter is about to go back to school as a sophomore. I have an older daughter who already completed college. And even as a pediatrician, I can tell you that, it's something that kind of gets glossed over. These kids are not prepared for this transition. And I'm in several Facebook groups for my daughter's college, parent groups, and all of the discussion, literally like hundreds of posts a day, everybody is freaking out this time of year, focused on the dorm and move-in day and what's allowed, what's not allowed, how high is the bed, can they have curtains, all these things, microwaves, this stuff. And like nobody is talking about their healthcare. And it's so funny because I remember last year when my daughter was a freshman, there was this abrupt transition between all of the posts about the dorm decor. And then about 3 to 4 weeks into the school year, when they all started getting sick, all the posts of the parent Facebook group, were about where can they go to get care? And what time is the student health center closed? And will they take my insurance? And where's the best urgent care center? So I'm really trying to like have these conversations early. But what I noticed as a parent is that we just, the parents don't, no one thinks about this. Right. And they really, we struggle with our health and the healthcare system. And so why do we expect that 17 and 18 year olds can just be dropped off on a college campus and then suddenly they are responsible for managing their own health and their healthcare? So that was really the motivation behind writing the book, because I didn't want to just prepare my daughter, but I wanted everyone's sons and daughters to have this information.
And I think you're very right that it's something that you don't even think about. I mean, you are so concerned with getting the stuff for the dorm room, getting the paperwork done, getting the finances in and financial papers. When is it?
Yes.
We know that every year, ourselves as well as our college bound students, somebody gets the flu at some point in time.
Exactly. Yeah. I always say it's not if they're going to get sick, but it's when they're going to get sick, because they are going to get sick.
Right. And so when they get to campus, and a lot of students obviously travel out of state, to school, what are the resources that are there for them? And what are some important things, for parents to know, coverage wise and stuff? I mean, do things transfer?
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think, one of the tips that I always provide to parents, and we discuss it in the book, is about your health insurance. It is really important that parents take these last few days, or maybe you have another week or so, and look over your health insurance policy and make sure that you understand the benefits that are provided, specifically if your child is going away out of state. There are many health insurance plans, mine included, we found this out last year the hard way, that do not provide coverage for non-emergencies out of state. And so if you have that type of health insurance plan, you know, yes, if your child goes to the emergency room, that bill will be covered. But if they go to an urgent care center, or in some cases, even if they receive care on campus at their student health clinic, they may have absolutely no coverage. And so parents are getting these huge bills of $500, $400 for medical care because they didn't take the time, or they didn't even know, to check their health insurance policy. In other cases, maybe the out-of-state is covered, but at a much higher copay or at a much higher coinsurance, because these providers will tend to be out of network. Another thing is that, like at my daughter's school, for example, and this is becoming more and more popular, some of the colleges and universities are actually requiring that your insurance provide non-emergency coverage out of state. So it's not even a matter of you just deciding, well, I'm just going to take that chance. And if my child has to get medical care, I'll just pay out of pocket. Many schools are saying, no, if your insurance plan doesn't provide this type of coverage, then you actually have to purchase health insurance through the school. And we found ourselves in that situation last year when my daughter was a freshman. And, you know, while she has, actually her insurance is probably better than ours, but, you know, that was an additional cost that came up right before move-in day that, you know, many families are not expecting. So it's just really important to be proactive and, you know, to really carefully review your health insurance policy so that you know exactly what's covered and what isn't.
Now, at most college campuses, do they offer one health aid right there on campus? Two, do they offer health insurance usually as a student, or is that, you know, kind of hit or miss?
So most college campuses have a student health center, with very few exceptions. Now, what they provide at that student health center and how that coverage is arranged varies. So many schools, you pay a student health fee, and they you know, put that all in there with that big tuition bill. And as a part of that student health fee, the student may have unlimited access to the student health center. And typically, they will provide some preventive health services. You know, they can usually get like their flu shot. They can get there. They may be able to get other vaccines. Certainly, they should be able to go there for minor illnesses, you know, those flu bugs, you know, cold and flu symptoms, allergies, things like that, and maybe even minor injuries. But there are some schools where, in addition to that student health fee, if you don't have the student health insurance plan, either it's limited as to what services you can receive on campus, or you may not be able to receive services without paying out of pocket. So every school has a different arrangement, but I would say the majority of schools, for a fee that the parents pay annually, the student has access to some basic services at the student health center. The problem is that, you know, those services may be limited, and then, you know, they're not 24/7. And so some of these student health centers may close at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon each day. Some of them may not be open on weekends or on holidays. And so that's when it becomes important that students are aware of some of the other options in their college town.
Right. And prescription wise, do you know how that's covered out? I mean, or does that divert then to your regular insurance? And if your regular insurance is out of state, does it not cover those prescriptions?
Yeah. So generally with prescriptions, you're going to have to go through your insurance policy. And that's, again, why it's so important to know whether your policy even covers, you know, those types of services out of state. So generally, if you need a prescription, you know, they will typically bill your health insurance company. And so, you know, if you have health insurance through the school, you know, that's great. If not, you will pay whatever your copay is that's designated by your individual health insurance policy. And I should add here that it's really important that the student have a copy of that health insurance card. Ideally, they should have their own health insurance card that they take with them. But if not, the parents could take a picture of it and, you know, send it to the student so that they can save it on their phone, because that's the only way that, you know, the student health center and local urgent cares, ERs, will be able to properly bill the services that they're providing.
Okay. And I went in looking over your book and chatting with you as well, you talked a little bit about young adults not really knowing their health histories and how important that is. And
yeah,
I say that all four of my children really don't all know either. know, as like mama bears, we do a lot of the talking for our kids, you know?
And that's right.
And or even young adults, because they're really all our kids, right? I mean, you still call them kids, like they could be 30 and you call them your kids. What do you say is the best way to get that information and have those discussions and all of that with your young adults?
Yeah, this is so incredibly important. Like you said, we mama bears and even the papa bears, you know, we tend to speak up for our kids in these appointments, you know, so we're the ones that are providing the health history. And so many of them, you know, they're zoned out while we're talking about what's going on with our kids or while we're sharing this past medical history, family history. They're not paying attention. They're on their phones or they're doing something else. And so they really are pretty clueless when it comes to these topics. And so it's really important that you spend time with your kids. Those of you who have kids going back to college, take some time before you drop them off to just sit down and discuss these issues. I actually, in the book, there's a link to an amazing resource that I created that really allows, it's a document that parents can download. And it allows you to go through all of their health history, you know, their all the medical problems that they had previously, the current active issues that they may have, any allergies that they have to foods and medications, you know, any surgeries that they've had, their family history. Many of these kids have no idea that heart disease runs in their family or mental illness runs in their family. So they need to know these things because these things may end up impacting them while they're away at school. So this document allows you to write down all of that information, the names of their doctors, the phone numbers, you know, they don't know this information. And if something happens to them, God forbid, you know, the doctors in their college town may need to reach out to the doctors that know them best, and they need to have that information. So this document can be completed. And again, you know, in this day and age, you can download it, put it in the cloud, take a picture of it, save it on your phone. Right. And then when they're in these health appointments, instead of them scratching their head or saying, oh, let me call my mom, they can literally just pull up this document and be able to communicate effectively.
And I can't tell you how many times, you know, this year, because I do have four kids that they're like, who's that doctor?
Who's exactly.
That I saw before. What was that condition I had? I'm like, it's your condition, you know, but you don't realize how much we do that talking. Now I know that we were going to go on to some stuff on emergency kits and that sort of thing. But what I want to make sure that we don't miss covering is going back to school, to college and mental health resources and that sort of thing, just because next month, I believe is, you know, Suicide Prevention Month. And I mean, it's just so important, so prevalent, mental health, and not talked
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
And so I'm not sure what the kind of resources are with on campuses and what you would have to give for advice on that.
Yeah. So I'm glad you brought this up. And mental health is incredibly important. And, you know, the statistics show that 75% of mental illness is going to present typically by around age 24. And so many of these kids may already suffer from things like anxiety and depression, or they may have their first episode of mental illness while they are away at school. And so again, it's incredibly important that they are aware of the symptoms, but also that they know where to seek help. So most student health centers, most colleges and universities have some, you know, mental health center or some resource for the students where they can get, you know, some type of counseling. But it's important that students and parents know that these services tend to be limited, just like out in the real world, you know, that generally the supply does not meet the demand. And so many of the schools will say that they are there for the students for like an acute problem, but if they have an ongoing, you know, long-term chronic mental illness, many schools will encourage them to find a provider in that town, you know, someone off campus, a therapist or a psychiatrist even, if they need medications. So this is another thing that's really important, you know, is that if you know that your child has a mental illness or a physical illness for that matter, you know, you may need to actually transition them to a new provider that can kind of manage them while they're away at school. You don't want them to be, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks into the semester, and then they suddenly start to have more problems with their anxiety, with their depression, and then realize that they have absolutely no one that they can go to, you know, for care. So that's really important. In terms of the prescriptions, I typically recommend that if the child is on a long-term prescription, that their parents really make an appointment before they go away with that doctor, that nurse practitioner, and try to get a 3-month supply if necessary, so that, you know, for at least the first 3 months, the student doesn't even have to worry about that. And also talk to the person who prescribes that medication and make sure there is a plan in place for refills. You know, there are some medicines where they may be able to just transfer that prescription over to the pharmacy in a new state. But depending on the type of medication, particularly controlled substances, you can't transfer those out of state and you can't call them in. So again, these are things that really need to be talked about and sorted out before the student goes off to college.
And that's where being so proactive. I mean, I think all the things that we talk about, I know you have a podcast with other doctors and myself having this podcast and this show, is that we have to plan and prepare if we're hoping to have good outcomes. If we
absolutely,
you know, we have no one else to blame but ourselves that we didn't practically think. And that's where having some of those lists, I think that's so helpful, because sometimes as parents, we don't even think about the things that we needed. And we're like, oh yeah, I should have thought of it. And so when you have free downloadables and things like that, that you can hang on the fridge, and this is my reminder, you know, to get it done before school starts, those are so incredibly useful. So
I agree.
I can,
there's a lot going on. I mean, I'm stressed out, honestly. You know, my daughter's transitioning from a dorm last year to an apartment. So we're all stressed out trying to figure out, okay, what do you need for your apartment? And so, I mean, and the parents are all wrapped up in, you know, the tuition bills are rolling in and financial aid and loan checks and all these things. And so unfortunately, this health piece is something that typically is only thought about when the emergency arises. So I'm just really trying to get parents to add this to that long to-do list, because I would argue this is more important than all the other things that come up. Your child's health is absolutely priceless.
Right.
So this is much more important than coordinating the, you know, the sheets and the comforters and the string lights and all that stuff.
And I mean, I'm sure that you also saw that as a pediatrician, you know what I'm saying? When you know, working in the clinic, you see that those parents wait for those health forms.
Oh my gosh.
Like
yes.
That, I remember my son's pediatrician, she would always be like the influx. It's like,
this is a horrible time of year. I am so sorry. I'm praying for all the pediatricians out there, because between, you know, regular school and college and sports, they are being inundated right now with all of the parents who waited to the last minute.
Right, to do that. Now, I know that you were on a talk show not long ago, and you were showing some different emergency kits and things like that. I'd love to see what you put together.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So, you know what? I don't think I have, I'm sorry, Tammy. I don't think I have my first aid kit here with me. But yes, I did a DIY first aid kit. Maybe I can drop the picture of it in the comments for this segment so people can see it. So yeah, I did a DIY first aid kit for my daughter. This was a huge hit. You know, parents, again, we don't think about these things. When they're home with us, they can literally just open up the medicine cabinet and grab that Tylenol, that Motrin, that allergy medicine, you know, and the Robitussin, you know, cough syrup, whatever. These things, number one, they are very expensive, okay? And our students I don't know about your students, but my student doesn't have a lot of money. And so we don't want them to be burdened with trying to figure out how to get to a local drugstore to be able to buy these things. And so my daughter was well-equipped. And in fact, not only did her roommates use her supplies, but it became known in her dorm that she had all the goods. And so even her resident assistant would come and, you know, hey, do you have this? Do you have that? So I have a link to that. There's a guide that the parents can pick up. It's bit.ly/collegeguide1. And if you go to that link, you can download your own guide. These are the 10 things that every college student should never leave behind. But basically, you know, I included things like a thermometer. I mean, we don't even think about these things, but this is not adequate. You know, you may think you have a fever just by putting your hand on your forehead, but many times you won't. And even if you do, if it's 101 versus 104, that's really important information. So, you know, a thermometer, having those over-the-counter cold medications, you know, fever reducers, things like that. So yeah, there's a nice checklist that parents can use. And then you can build your own DIY first aid kit for your child, because again, they're going to be managing these things mm-hmm. on their own. And, you know, many of them will be far, far away from us. So we need to empower them with the tools that they need.
Right. And for us helicopter parents.
Yeah.
Did you read it? Did you read the label? Did you take the right amount?
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. Not only that, they need to have it, but they need to understand how to read the label so that they know the appropriate dosage. These are all the things that we've been doing for them for right. 17 to 18 years.
What you think about that is how many times do you dose it out for your kids? They're like, oh, I got a headache. Right. I got some in my purse. You don't tell them yep. how many they're supposed to take.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
You know, read the back of the bottle. So, Dr. Rochester, are you able to drop those things below?
Yeah.
Below, so it's really easy and
accessible. Definitely.
To be able to print off those sheets. And then your guide, can you tell us a little bit more about your new
the book?
Yeah, the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the book is, this is this, Healthcare Navigation 101, a guide for college-bound students and parents. And it's available on Amazon. If you just search Healthcare Navigation 101, you know, you'll see it has a little GPS phone there as your guide, as you know, the way that, you know, you're looking at the right one. And so, yeah, it's available in both ebook and paperback version. And I get a lot of questions about the ebook because on Amazon it says Kindle and people say, oh, do I need a Kindle device? No, you do not. You know, you can access Kindle ebooks on your tablet, on any cell phone, on your desktop computer, laptop. So I actually like the ebook version, honestly, particularly for the students, because I don't know about you all students, but you know, my daughter last year as a freshman, I think she had one physical book and all the rest of her books were digital. The reality is that these kids really don't consume paper books the way that we did. And so the electronic book is, you know, it's just much more accessible to them, but also then they will have this information at their fingertips. So they can easily just pull it up on their smartphone if they have questions, if they want to go back and read a particular topic, and even if they want to have access to that downloadable that we talked about. So yeah, I'm really proud of the book. It's a really quick read. You know, it's only like 50 pages. So it's very easy. I recommend that the parents and the students read this book because it really has useful information for both. And if the parents have the information, they can kind of, you know, guide their student through this process. But it's incredibly important that our students and our parents have this information so that they're not stuck, so that they're not, you know, just baffled when some of these minor and major health issues come up once they're away on campus.
And I think it's important to tell the folks that inside of the book, there is more, it doesn't just cover just health insurance or just.
Oh, yeah. I can quickly go through, you know, we talk about privacy and confidentiality. So we talk about the laws that are in place. Many parents are aware that they have, there's privacy regarding the grades, but a lot of parents think that they can just call up to the school and say, hey, I know that my son was in the student health center today. I just wanted to get some more information. Nope, can't do that. Like, once they go off to that college, they are considered adults. They have laws that protect their privacy for their health. And so there are things in place and there are forms that need to be completed if the parent wants access to that information. So that's what we talk about in the first chapter. In the second chapter, we talk all about communication. This is the largest chapter. I walk through every single aspect of a typical visit with a doctor, the questions that they ask, and give the students some tips so that they can start to be able to communicate effectively with doctors and other healthcare providers. And then in the third chapter, we talk about how to navigate an acute illness. And so we go over, you know, helping them understand what's an emergency. You know, when do you need to call 911 versus what are some things that you can just treat in the comfort of your dorm room? Chapter four is about navigating chronic illnesses. So there are many kids who may have asthma or seizures or migraines or mental health illnesses. And so they need to know the things that will help them continue to manage those chronic health conditions while they're away at school. And then in chapter five, we talk about the health insurance, which we've already discussed a little bit here. Chapter six is all about mental health. So again, some tips and tricks and resources for the students. Chapter seven is about sexual health. So again, you know, these kids, we may not want to think about it as parents, but they are, you know, going away, they're growing up, and many of them will be engaging in sexual activity. So we want to make sure that they're safe and that they know where to seek care if they're worried about, you know, infections or if they need contraception. And then chapter 8 is a packing list where I go through all the things that students and parents need to know about and make sure that they pack when they go away to college. And then there's a chapter, there's some resources, a whole list of websites and things where the parents and students can get some additional information.
Wonderful. I love it. I love it. So
thank you.
Everybody needs to hop on. So you can get it in the ebook format, the hard, the printed
paperback. Yep.
And you will drop that link below as well, right?
Yes, I will.
For Amazon for that. So wonderful. Woo, that was lots of great information. I love it. I love it. Love it.
Thank you.
So we all should be prepared now. We have no excuses. Go on, print it off, follow your checklist. So you make sure that you have everything. Now I know before we head off today for all of us to start our days, wanted to make sure to also drop, you have a new podcast that is out with a group of doctors.
Yes.
Which I think is so cool. And so I just wanted you to share a tiny bit about that before we go for the day.
Oh, thank you, Tammy. Oh yeah. This is so exciting. I love this podcast. So it's called The Real RX. And it's myself and four other amazing female physicians. And we have a weekly podcast. You can find it on your favorite podcast app, you know, Apple, iTunes, Google, Spotify. And basically, you know, we just speak in a real way about common health conditions, trending topics, things that are in the news, things that are important related to your health. And we realize that a lot of people just really aren't comfortable talking to certain things with their doctor. And also we know that time in that office is so limited. I mean, so many people complain about being rushed in and out of their doctor's appointments. And so we really are like a resource for our audience, but also, you know, we bring it to them in like a funny and really down to earth manner. And so, you know, we've talked about it. We just had a back to school episode where we shared some tips for parents, things that they need to think about before their kids go back to school. We've talked about mental health. We've talked about cell phone addiction. We've talked about, you know, how to get your doctor to listen to you. So it's really good. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback and it's just been a lot of fun, you know, building off of each other's energy and also being able to interact with our audience. So we did our first 10 episodes live on Facebook, but now we transition over to purely podcast. So I encourage your listeners to check it out. It's called The Real RX.
And you can drop that below as well.
Awesome. I will.
Wonderful. Well, you all need to go check it out. Check out her new book that is out. And as always, we're looking out for the best interests and health care for our loved ones, whether that be our college student, our elderly loved ones, or our young kiddos. So with that, thank you so much for spending the last little bit, over a half an hour with our audience this morning, Dr. Rochester. I know you're super, super busy.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you for having me. It's always, always great to be here with you.
Yes, glad to have you back. And you're going to drop all those links below. Also drop below where they can find you, communicate with you, all those kinds of things on social media. So you guys will be able to do that. And we did not coordinate this morning. I just
want look at this.
No.
Total coincidence.
This is such a good color. Royal blue, favorite color. Sport your blue today. You guys have a fabulous weekend, a fabulous Friday. If you want any more information about the On Air Advocate, go to onairadvocate.com. If you want to be part of our private community, you can head up to the top of this Facebook page, hit the blue button, and that will let you into our private group. So on that note, thanks again, Dr. Rochester. Bye-bye, guys. Have a blessed day.